This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Over the course of The Spark's existence, I've had a series of gloriously fun interns, each of whom has taught me at least as much as I've taught them. Julia Ann Skinner, The Spark's latest intern, who just graduated from JMU, is the author of Julia's Spark, a series of Spark Page interviews she's done with other creative college students. Ms. Skinner herself is tall, lithe, has the most beautiful long red-gold hair, and can hula up a storm. Julia Skinner, you see, grew up in Hawaii.
My dad was in the Navy, and so we moved there when I was 3 years old, and it was my mother and my two sisters, so an older and a younger. There was a local hula group that would teach adult lessons in the neighborhood we moved in, and so my mom, the other moms were talking about it, so she joined, and she found out they had a children's class with another teacher. So she was like, oh, as long as we're in Hawaii, let's have our little girls dance hula, how cute. And we did it for the next 10 years.
And I swing my hips from left to right. On me just right. It's the Minnehune Beach Bum Boogie. Boy, is it a sight. I swing my hips from left to right. I cookie on me just right. It's the Minnehune Beach Bum Boogie. Oh, what a sight.
Now, how old were you when you started?
I think I was 4, because that's the youngest.
Four.
Yeah, that's the youngest they'll take. People try to get you start at like 3. Like, you'll have little 3-year-olds, they'll hear like the drum beat, and they automatically like go into the stance and stuff because their mom's got them all trained.
I know nothing about the hula,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a dance form.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell me about that?
It's Hawaiian. I think that's something people know. There's solo, which, you know, people dancing by themselves. And there are two main categories of hula. There's Awana, which is the modern one, which has the ukuleles and the really pretty music and the long dresses.
Ukuleles,
yeah,
not ukuleles.
Yeah, no. Okay. I've heard ukulele, but I don't like that. And then there's kahiko, which is the traditional, like, the war chants and stuff. And so that doesn't have any ukulele or anything. Those are drums. And we have, there's an instrument called an ipu, which is like a gourd that's, like, hollowed out and dried and makes, like, an echoey sort of drum noise.
Is hula dancing really a big part of Hawaiian culture?
I would say so. I think it was like King Kamehameha said, it's like the heartbeat of the Hawaiian people.
Okay.
Like that's like the big quote for it.
So it's not just for tourists?
No, there's like serious competitions, and it's like there's always like you go to a luau and they'll teach you like a cute little dance and stuff. But there's like there's the cute touristy stuff and there's like real competitions and
which
stuff.
Which is what you did.
Yeah.
Hey, you're 4 years old. You're taking hula lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I know. When I was 6 years old, I took ballet for a while.
I took ballet too.
Yeah. Well, you are just a dancing fool.
Well, I got kicked out of ballet.
And I know there were specific exercises that you did to train your body in specific ways.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same with hula dancing?
Yeah, there's a bunch of basic steps that you know. They're all different names, and they like make up the dances. And so, like, you'd open up practice just like our teacher, our kumu, she would play ukulele and just have us do different moves and to warm up. And there's usually like a basic set of footwork that you know. And then there's the kahola, which is the basic back and forth movement that everyone does. And
the hip swishing thing.
Well, like the footstep, but yeah, your hips move with it.
Oh, okay. But you're going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you just kind of add motions when you have the song. Because it's based on the song.
All right. But is there training involved?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is the training? Do you have exercises that are comparable to ballet or sort of training routines?
Well, we used to do a lot of work on the ground. Like, so, mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll do where you're like on your knees on the ground, kind of like sitting between your legs. I'm not sure if I'm describing this
right. Makes no sense.
Well,
come on, Wordmeister.
So you sit in the ground with your legs tucked under you, like your calves under your thighs, and then you sit between them.
Okay.
And so it's a good stretch if you're not used to it. And you do this move where you like push yourself up slightly. So your calves are on the floor and then you're up at a slight angle, which it strains your thighs. And it's very painful. And you have to move your hips while you're doing that. So that's
in the sort of the hula movement.
But you're on the ground. And so it's supposed to like build up your thigh muscles because you're supposed to bend your knees while you're dancing, which is extremely painful if you do it for like any extended period of time. And we would also do duck walks, which is where you like squat down and walk around. Like we'd walk around the room or wherever we are. And that's pretty hard, too, if you're not used to it. It just, your legs would burn quite a bit.
When you come into class, did mm-hmm. you do a certain period of floor work? Or
It usually depends on the days. But we'd always open up just with a bunch of kaholos.
Kaholos?
The back and forth one.
Okay.
And then there's like a hella, which is like a foot point. Uehe, you like kick your knees out. There's ummi, which is like a hip sway, but in a circle. Then hip sway, which has a Hawaiian word. I can't remember it. So it's basically like basic steps and movements that you would do to warm up at the beginning of all the practices. Sometimes you would do floor work, sometimes duck walk. And then you would eventually get into the actual songs and work on those.
What made it? Is it challenging?
Yeah, I feel like people don't realize how much work is in behind it. Because you have to be in shape to be able to dance a whole song and still be bending and still be doing it properly. And then when you have a whole group of dancers, everything is supposed to be perfectly aligned and together. And it takes a lot of work to get a group of 20 or so people perfectly together and everyone knowing the song and the dance.
You started out at 4 mm-hmm. and you trained steadily for 10 years.
About 10 years, yeah.
How did you improve? I mean, obviously you got older and you got mm-hmm. more, but what actually got better about your hula dancing?
Well, when you're little, you're kind of all over the place. The little kids are always really cute, but they're always all over the place. I feel like people just get a lot more graceful. Like when you see an older dancer, it's just like, even if they're not dancing, they just like the way they move is really graceful. You get more disciplined, you get more used to bending so much and memorizing more songs and whatnot.
Did it change your body in a way that it stayed changed?
People used to tell me I have really good posture. And I still know how to dance, so I guess I can kind of, I don't know if I can dance other styles at all, but I can still dance hula well, so.
Lovely little hands, graceful as the birds in motion. Gliding like the gulls over the ocean. Lovely hula hands, pulling my money. Fingertips in shape.
Tell me about that.
The competition I did the most would be the Keiki Hula competition. And Keiki means child or children. And it was the Queen Liliuokalani Keiki Hula competition. That's one of the former queens. And you have to be between 6 and 12 to compete in that one. So I believe I was 7 my first year. I was a little bit on the young side for hula dancers. I actually ran away from my first hula practice because I wasn't quite ready. So I started when I was 4, but came to one practice, took a few months, then came back.
It's just too much?
Apparently. My teacher was a bit intimidating. She's a fantastic woman, but she demands quite a bit from her dancers.
Okay, so you just need to go away and toughen mm-hmm. up a little bit.
You know, I was a mature 5, so by then I was ready. But I think it was just, we would come to practice, because my older sister was still dancing. She actually did the Keiki Hula competition her first time when she was 6. And then she soloed twice in that competition because she was quite good. She's a better dancer than me, actually. But we would come to practice every Saturday morning and I'd be sitting there hanging out, not dancing because I'd ran away. So after a few months, I was like, well, I want to dance again. Why am I being left out? And I was like, well, because you ran away, Julie. That's why. But so that's the big competition. That was every summer at Neil Blaisdell Arena. And my mom used to joke that that was our summer camp because that's where we always came back to. And it's a 3-night competition. So the first night are the solos. So there's boys and girls solos. The group I danced with also had a men's group or boys group because they were 12-year-olds. We didn't really dance with them. Occasionally they do dances which are co-ed, so boy and girl. But we never really did that. We only had a couple boys. I think of the 6 boys when I started dancing, 3 of them were the grandchildren of our teacher. So that was the big competition. I did that till I was 12. And then the next competition, there's this huge one in Hawaii that people, like, when I went to it, they were saying it's basically the Olympics of hula. And it's the Merry Monarch hula competition, which is on the Big Island in Hilo. So that was amazing to go to. For that one, it's between 13 and I think like 55 or something. It's just the adult competition. And they have a soloist as well, the Miss Aloha Hula competition. That's the first day. And then the second day would be the Kahiko, the traditional one. And then the third day is the Awana. And then in Kekihula, it's the same style, like Awana and the Kahiko, then the Awana for the 2 nights.
And what did you compete in?
I never did a solo for those 2 competitions, but I would do the Kahiko and the Awana because you don't really do one or the other. It's like if you do the solo, then you're also going to do Kahiko and also going to do Awana.
Okay.
So they're 2 completely separate songs.
And how did you feel in this competition?
It was intimidating. It was really amazing to be able to go. They're both on TV, but Kekihula is kind of, it's like the children's one. So it's much smaller and you don't really think about it too much. You're just kind of on stage and the lights are real bright and you're just kind of...
And your mommy's out there.
Yeah, just trying to like kind of looking at the crowd, but kind of thinking, oh, I have to go, I have to do this now. And they're like, oh, my leg itches. And that was a big thing. We had these ferns you would wear around your head and it had this little, what's it called? Like spores, I guess.
I guess.
And they would you would start to sweat and they'd get everywhere and then you're just itching at it and you get yelled at because you're scratching and it's going to fall off. And they spent so much time making those for you.
Did you wear grass skirts?
It's called I think. How skirts. We used to wear tea leaf skirts a lot, which are made of those big tea leaves.
Yeah.
They can be, I think, they have to be a certain length on your leg. Like, you can't wear little short ones when you get older. But I got so tall that they had trouble finding tea leaf for me because I had to have a 33-inch tea leaf, and they're usually about 25 inches. So we had to, like, work hard to find these leaves for my skirts, and then they get really heavy, and you got to tie them tight, or they'll fall off, which is, you don't want that to happen. Because if it falls off, you have to step out and keep dancing. You can't stop. You're on stage. I just wrote an essay not too long ago about, because I couldn't decide on what topic to write about, and I wanted to write about hula, and I also wanted to write about rugby, because I played rugby for 2 semesters at JMU. And I was trying to like intertwine them somehow. And so I kind of got this theme that hula taught me to not be afraid of things. Because when I was dancing hula, the only thing I was afraid of was making my teacher mad, making Auntie Joni mad, or making her disappointing her. And so that was the only thing I was scared of. So nothing else scares me as long as Auntie Joni's happy. So playing rugby is no big deal because, you know, even though you're being tackled by all these people and you could break something and it's going to hurt, it's okay. Just as long as you're not disappointing your coach or not disappointing your teammates or whatever, you're doing fine as long as you're doing what you can.
You'll find a link to Julia Spark, as well as one to Julia in Hula Action, on the Spark page at WMRA.org.